This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The new movie Autofocus is about a camera buff. His name was Bob Crane, and he was the star of the popular 1960s television series Hogan's Heroes. Crane's private life was filled not only with snapshots and home movies of his wives and children, but also with an obsessive photo and video record of his countless anonymous sexual adventures. It was a double life unknown to the public until Crane's brutal murder in 1978. Autofocus had a strong debut over the weekend in limited release. Movie maker Paul Schrader wrote the screenplays for Taxi Driver and Raging Bull and directed Affliction. In Autofocus, he explores Bob Crane's contradictions. Pat Dowell reports.
Hogan's Heroes created a minor controversy when it appeared in 1965 because it was a sitcom set in a World War II prisoner of war camp where the hale and hearty inmates ran the show. Bob Crane played their leader, Colonel Hogan.
You're running the most brutal prison in Germany.
I am?
In the world. You rank third, right behind Devil's Island and Alcatraz.
Oh.
And you're the toughest commandant in Germany.
I am?
Oh. In the last war, it was killed a Kaiser. Today, it is killed Klink.
Kill. Me.
I like that. You must not show weakness.
Jawohl.
You must punish the man.
Jawohl.
Cancel the football game.
Jawohl.
You run a tough camp.
After the series ended in 1971, Crane failed to launch a movie career or another successful television show. In 1978, at the age of 49, he was bludgeoned to death with a camera tripod. When Paul Schrader heard that a script about Crane was being pitched around Hollywood, he was interested, but he discovered the money men were not.
The evilest word in Hollywood is the word dark. If you want to dismiss anybody or anything out of hand, simply call it dark. And this was perceived as dark, therefore we don't want to deal with it.
But Schrader did. The script came with a name actor attached, Greg Kinnear, who was nominated for an Oscar for his performance as a sensitive gay artist in As Good As It Gets. Like Schrader, Kinnear was attracted to the dark script because it wasn't the typical Hollywood tease and tell.
If you're looking for wild, sensationalistic sexual imagery, you'll be woefully disappointed in this. We're giving out a bar of soap with every viewing.
Crane's collection of hardcore tapes and photos, which he unabashedly showed off, grew ever larger while his career crumbled. Director Paul Schrader found a visual scheme to illustrate that process.
The production designer came up with this term, the accretion of clutter. And I kind of like it, the idea that as his life goes on, it just gets messier and messier. And so we tried to apply that concept all the way across the board, in music and in set design and in makeup and wardrobe and props and camera technique and in laboratory technique. And so that at some point, you know, toward the end of the movie, you realize you are not watching the same movie you were watching when it started. And one day you're doing luxurious dollies, next day you're doing shaky cam. From scene to scene, you would have a different film stock, different camera techniques.
Autofocus also contains movies within movies. Schrader recreated Crane's hardcore videos with vintage equipment, moving from fuzzy black and white to color as video technology improved. This was more than an exercise in style, Schrader says, because it was the technology that brought Crane's sexual obsessions out of the closet.
He was a photo nut. He liked to take dirty pictures. He liked to look at dirty pictures. But until those pictures started to move, he wasn't really inside the image. And then all of a sudden, the pictures moved and gradually, you know, took over his life in a way. I think toward the end of his life, he was doing this every day.
Schrader was fascinated by Crane's relationship with John Carpenter, an audio-video technician who was eventually tried and acquitted for Crane's murder. In the film, Carpenter, played by Willem Dafoe, introduces Crane to the emerging technology of home video and to the sexual opportunities of fame.
Light hits this layer and stores a charged density pattern on it, which is scanned with an electron beam, so the resulting signal is sent by cable to where it's recorded on tape. The helical scan method of the VTR issues proper magnetic coding, so picture quality is always secure.
I've never seen anything like this.
Of course not. That's the point. It's a prototype.
Hey, that stereo over there.
Yeah?
Does it play music?
Of course.
Tonight?
Of course.
Do you got any jazz?
Name it.
You got Procol Harum?
I got Four Tops.
Close enough.
Bob? You wanna freshen the girls' drinks?
Filmmaker Paul Schrader talked to Crane's friends and his oldest son, who was a consultant on the film. Another son, however, opposed autofocus. He maintains bobcrane.com, where some of his father's photos and videos are for sale. Bob Crane considered himself a clean-cut entertainer and family man, even as he became an amateur pornographer and was professionally ostracized.
I want to restart my career.
If I were to send you out again, I'd have to be able to tell people you're a new man.
Well, tell them sex is normal.
It's the contradictions that make autofocus so refreshingly different, says Washington Post film critic Dessen Howe.
I think the fact that Paul Schrader even took this movie should tell you that this is not going to be the biopic you would expect. The sort of biopic that is modeled on the upcoming Frida Kahlo, in which, you know, Salma Hayek looks her best and everything's in beautiful color and her whole life seems to have a certain cohesion. This movie is more about the jagged edges, the decentered irregularities in her life, which is basically everything that would have been edited out of a Hollywood biopic.
Howe says the movie isn't even really about Bob Crane.
You walk away thinking, well, the guy at the center of the movie didn't seem to have a whole lot of substance to him. He didn't seem to get what was going on. But what Schrader is doing is kind of undercutting him and treating him as the flotsam on a huge tide, and the tide is the actual subject of the film.
Director Paul Schrader says that subject is the sexuality of the American male in the key years between 1965 and 1975, when a generation of men like Crane were joining a sexual revolution that was about to get a wake-up call from feminism. It would be news that Crane and the other swingers would not really hear, says Schrader.
All those sort of hip cats, Rat Pack mentality, you know, a women's lib comes and they have to put on beads and bell bottoms to score chicks, but they really haven't changed. Well, the generation that follows is post-women's lib, and they grew up at their mother's knee in this new world, and so that has changed.
For Schrader, Bob Crane is not only an emblem of that historical dilemma, but also of the seamless and seamy entwining of electronic technology and pornography. Home video created a multi-billion dollar market for pornography, and if Crane were alive today, Schrader says, he'd still be at it, but in a different format.
Bob would be one of those people probably who was into, you know, home porn on the net, you know, which is quite a burgeoning business. One of the dirty little secrets of the internet is how much of the economy of the internet is built on pornography. It is the huge economic engine. It put videotape on its feet and it put the internet on its feet financially.
Bob Crane died long before the internet became a public phenomenon. His murder remains officially unsolved. For NPR News, this is Pat Dowell in Washington.